It's time to talk about the outdoors in South Alabama. Hunting, fishing, and getting outside along the Great Gulf Coast. It's time to take it outside with FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. With reports, stories, how-to information, and Dr. Bill's Marine Forecast. Here's Sean Sullivan and Mike Ward.
And here we go, FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors, live from the Mobile Boat Show, day number two. The big day, Saturday, here at the Convention Center. And Captain Mike, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Sean. Yesterday was a good day.
Yesterday was
a lot of folks come through here yesterday. Normally on Friday, we get these big lulls for an hour or two at a time sometimes.
Because people do crazy stuff like they're at work.
Yeah.
And doing silly stuff like that, conducting their portion of the economy.
Yesterday didn't do that, I don't guess, because it was a good crowd yesterday.
It was a good crowd. And, you know, I was saying this yesterday during the midday show, not only the great selection of boats inside and outside, as always, from the big ones. And we'll get into some detail here, to freshwater boats, to duck boats outside, yeah, those kind of things. But the amount of accessories, I think, is up this year.
It is.
There's more stuff for your boat. So there might be somebody who says, hey, man, I know that I'm not getting a new boat this year.
Yeah.
But here's the point. There's always new stuff for the boat. Because I'm kind of like you, but there's new stuff for the boat here that you've got to check out. And there's improvements to things you already have and things you didn't even know you needed for the boat until you see it and you go, oh, yeah, that would be good.
I got to have one of those.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's always something for a boat.
Yes.
You can spend all you want to spend on a boat. Now, out of all the stuff you've seen so far, is anything that kind of looks at it that you've seen that says, man, that's new, that's different?
Some of the things I see, different, no, new of the same technology. In other words, the things that have caught my attention are things that have been out, whether they be from the electronics world or the anchoring system world for boats, that are just that much better. You know what I'm saying? It's not like,
yeah,
I haven't, and maybe there's something I've missed that's like a new whiz-bang, I've never seen it technology, but what I've really stuck with me is like, holy cow, the advancement electronics. Holy cow, the advancement
every year in
automatic anchoring systems.
Yes.
It's unreal how, like, year to year you think it doesn't change that much, but it absolutely does.
You know, you got the iPilot.
For
your bay boats and stuff that you can anchor your boat.
Mm-hmm.
You just push a button and it holds your boat right there. Well, now, the new motors with the HAM system, you go out guff fishing and you push a button and your guff boat stays right there.
Right, and you know, this is something that we've been doing, a group of us have been doing with different boats, using the iPilots offshore to try to do that snapper fishing, being able to hold over those numbers instead of being in the... And it's motivated by guys like me that, you know, I'm always driving the boat and I never get to fish, and it's fun for a while, but after a while you do want to fish too.
Oh, yes.
You know, instead
plus
of having
you don't have to sit there and jigger it back and forth,
yes,
back and forth and all that.
So you get on this HAM system, though. This is through the outboards, right?
Yes. Yes, it's through the outboards. The outboards move independently, and they sit back there and just...
So you lock in the GPS.
Yeah, lock in. It just locks off the GPS, all it does, but it just makes those motors just stay right there. And if one motor turned to the right, the other one turned to the left, and there are two of them will turn to the right, and one of them will turn to the left. I mean, it's just back there.
It's what we've seen, you know, with bow thrusters. It's what we've seen with... You watch a crew boat do it and do the same thing, but now that technology is getting to where...
Outboards.
Yeah, getting to our outboards, and we can put it on.
And there is one boat that I've seen that's really unique.
Okay.
It's a hybrid boat. You know, it's a boat that you can go out in the guff in and be real safe and good in, and then you can go out in the bay, do whatever you want to. It's a 27-foot Tidewater with twin 300s on it.
Now
it's a bay boat.
With twins.
With twins, but it's a guff boat.
Yeah.
It's a true hybrid.
All right. I'm going to have to check that one out. I've been looking.
It's outside.
Well, because I was outside looking at some of the boats that really caught my attention. The ones where I go, how many more? Speaking of each year, it gets bigger and bigger. I remember the first time I saw trips on a boat.
Oh, yeah.
Trip outboards.
Yeah.
That was 10 years, you know, and then
big.
You came back, and then they had quads.
Yeah.
Then somebody else said, look, we can put five on them. You're going, what are you? It is unbelievable the way we're hanging outboards on the back of offshore boats.
It is. First time I saw three motors on the back of a boat, I said, these people are crazy. It's bad enough to have two on a boat and all the maintenance problems you have with all that. I said, three of them? No way. With that, three is nothing anymore.
That's for sure.
Yeah.
So there's a lot going on here. And also, I got to get his take because he's been here with us a few years watching this. And Captain Ronnie Daniels joining us from Bay St. Louis.
Past Christian.
Past Christian. you travel the whole way east over to see us every year. That's cool, man. Thanks.
Man, I come just to see you.
Good. That's why you're batter up number one on the show. And also something you do that we talked about last year that I participated in with my family and my children is a Fishing 101 for the kids.
Yes.
So tell us what this is.
It's an event we've had going on for about 3 years now, second year in Mobile here. The ladies at the boat show let me kind of run with this. It's something I've always wanted to do. You bring your kids out. We're going to get them excited about fishing. We're going to teach them some of the basics. We've got water safety. They're going to learn how to throw a cast net today, different rigs to fish with, knots, casting a rod, floundering. And we're going to have a shark exhibit set up by Mississippi State University.
Now you got their attention.
Exactly. Everybody likes sharks.
That's right.
But we're really going to get their attention now because once they get done with all that, they're going to get a rod and reel. They're going to get a tackle box with tackle in it. They're going to get some sunscreen, some face buffs by Power Pole. We've got all kind of goodies for them.
This is awesome. And so the people come, and this is upstairs. This is the same place as it was last year upstairs?
Yes. So whenever you walk in the convention center, you'll see the ticket booth. We're right behind it. We've got signs set up, and you'll see us all standing back there looking for you kids.
All right, so this starts at 1.
Yes,
but you got it. So walk me through. If somebody wants to do this, they're listening to us right now. Yes, this is good for us and the kid, you know, to bring the kids to. When do they need to get here? Do they get in line? Do they get a ticket? What do they do?
You know, that's a million-dollar question every year. You may want to get here a little early.
Right.
Unfortunately, we are limited to what we can give away, so it's going to be the first 100 kids. I wouldn't recommend getting in line right now.
Right. But don't show up at 1 right after 1 o'clock and expect
so.
Right.
Yeah, but so here's the thing. We are giving this stuff away to them. But last year, we went over what we could give away. That doesn't mean we're going to stop the program. We're still going to bring them in, have fun with them, teach them some stuff. If we've got kids here till 2:30, these captains that are donating their time, they're going to sit there till 2:30 and talk with these kids. So
that's
bring
awesome.
Them on out either way. Hopefully, we'll get you some stuff to take home.
You know, there's one of the things, and you and I talked about it last year. I know Mike and I have talked about it before, too. You might be talking to people that are big fishing family, but there's something about having somebody other than dad or mom teach a skill.
I don't want to teach my kids
almost
anything.
You know what I'm talking about?
I'd rather have you do it because they listen to you.
Yeah. It's a strange thing, but it's a truism of parenting.
Absolutely.
So even people who say, well, I know how to throw a cast net, and I know how to do this and that. Yeah, but remember how your children listen to you versus how they listen to another adult, let alone a licensed captain.
My son's pretty good about it, but I can guarantee you, whenever I go to showing him something, he knows how to do it better than I do.
I got two of those children just like that. Kids Fishing 101, this is going on today, and of course, this is free for all the kids. Just stop by and do this. And Captain Ronnie Daniels, what if people want to get more information on you and what you're doing? I mean, we're all fishing the same water. You just come at it from the west.
Yeah, you know, we fish a little different area, a lot of the same species. My website is msfisherman.com, and my number is 228-323-1115.
All right, so we're going to do this. If y'all have any more questions on this, we can answer them through the radio station. I also have this information. It's on the Mobile Boat Show's website. But 1 o'clock, y'all get started.
Yep, 1 o'clock, we're going to start rolling them in there. We're going to have fun with them. They will get a ticket. The first 100 will get a ticket, so we know who came in first. And we're going to spend as much time with them as they want to sit there and talk with us.
Well, I can tell y'all firsthand, once again, I mean, my son did it last year, and it was well received.
Yeah, Ronnie asked me, first thing this morning, was Sean's son coming in?
You said he was only banned for 1 year.
Yeah, well, we decided to go ahead and let him back in this year.
Okay. It's a charitable thing.
You know,
a
year cures a lot of things.
We're trying. Well, we hope. Let's not get ahead of ourselves. Ronnie, thank you for what you're doing here. We appreciate it.
Thank you. I appreciate you having me on. Appreciate
y'all come out. It's Kids Fishing 101. This is happening right here at the Mobile Boat Show. And that's also where the Guide's Corner is as we're talking for today and tomorrow with the best in inshore, offshore, freshwater fishing guides. And, you know, like we did yesterday, you want to see how people tie rigs. You want to see how people find fish. You want to ask detailed questions. I mean, that's what happens. What we were doing yesterday, in-depth discussion.
That's a great thing. I mean, just throwing a cast net. I mean, he might have a little technique that I don't know. You
that's
know,
right.
It might be better that I might need to see.
It's time to get your learn on, as they say, out here at the Mobile Boat Show. We are doing the Guide's Corner today and tomorrow. And we're coming right back. More of FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. FM FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. Glad to have you along on this Saturday. A special deal. We do this once a year, Mike. You know, we do a two-hour show on location.
Which is awesome.
It is awesome.
Yeah.
Gives us a chance to talk to a lot more people. And the lucky thing is a lot more people come by here than come by our studios.
Yeah, maybe two or three more.
Yeah, two or three more combined. We are at the Convention Center for the Mobile Boat Show, day number two, and the Guides Corner rolling on through today and tomorrow. The best of inshore guides, offshore guides, freshwater fishing, hunt and talk. We're going to talk some turkey calling here in just a little bit as well. All that going on right here at the Mobile Boat Show. So we got guides aplenty and advice aplenty. Plus, we got some goodies. FM Talk 106.5 Huggers. I've got the 2019 Mobile Weather and Marine Almanac from Dr. Bill Williams. Magazine stickers. Bobby brought us a bunch of fishing stickers the other day. Captain Charlie Gray brought us some as well. Have some lures for the kids. We have lures for the kids. We got a bunch of stuff. So when you come in.
Weather almanac?
Yeah, like I just said.
Okay.
Like previously.
I didn't hear that. I wasn't listening to
each other. We don't listen to each other. We've been together too long, Mike. But you come in. If you come into the convention center, and you get to the escalators, you come down the escalators. You're going to go down, and then you're going to make a left, and that left is going to be the straightaway that runs to the big room here at the convention center. You'll see us right there on the right for the guides corner, and we're right across from the Alabama Marine Resources Touch Tank Room. And stop by, visit with us.
Bobby was here just a minute ago. Abascado.
Yeah, he's off making a loop. He'll come back through here.
He'll be
a
back
second.
In a minute.
All right, but hopefully getting us breakfast.
I don't think so.
All right, another friend of the show has stopped by to see us as well. Macklin Smith, thanks, man. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you for having me. Appreciate it.
This is the start of the season, man. I know that for a guy like you, you're like, yeah, but I wish they would have had their boats to me earlier. But this is when people, I mean, look at the people walking in. People are thinking fishing is on. It's February, but fishing's on their mind.
It's the last weekend of hunting season, but you wouldn't know it.
No, all right. Because, well, and also think about, now today's a lot cooler, but we had 3 days last week. I think we had a high of 79 one day.
I was back in shorts and flip-flops most of the week.
Right. So people, that, I think that does something. It gets in people's mind. They're ready to go out and get after it. And one of the things I was talking about in the first segment is while there's the selection of new boats here is incredible. Incredible. There's a lot of folks that maybe have bought one recently or just, you know, just in love with the boat they have, but they are upgrading on their boats. But that's got to be a lot of people. I know you get a lot of new boats to fit, but I know you probably get a lot of people that say, all right, Macklin, I want to upgrade my electronics.
Yeah, it is that time. Garmin has released a new, since we talked a few months ago, they've released the new 8600 smaller versions. Remember I told you about the 17, 22, and 24-inch screens. Now they've taken that big high-speed glass helm platform and downsized it to the 10, 12, and 16-inch screens, so you get the same processor, better screen, same functionality as the older 7600 units, but now you've got something faster, better, flashier.
What is, okay, when you, it seems like as soon as any of us buy any electronics, the next week we pick up something that makes what we have look like it's obsolete. I mean, is there some truth to that? I mean, it makes me feel, but then there are sweet spots too. That's what I want to get to. There's sweet spots where you get this piece of electronics, and sure, you may have an upgrade year to year, a chip upgrade or something like that. But what would you tell somebody who wants to have something that they're gonna feel like they have something that does what they need for 5 years or 6 years versus 5 weeks later going, oh man.
Yeah, I've had a few of those conversations this week.
Now that these
new units are shipping, we're getting them in for all these boats we've ordered it for. Upgrades is the necessity.
Is that okay? And that's one thing too. I think there are also people. I'm pointing fingers at myself. We'll get that unit. Upgrades come out for it, but we just I don't want to do an upgrade, but they make a big difference.
They do. I mean, software upgrades are more common than I wish, but
these are computers. Are they calling you to do the upgrade?
Yeah.
Are they easy to do, or do you?
Oh yeah, it's easy to do if you have the, once you download the file, and I have it in a little SD card I carry in my pocket, and whenever they update it, and I'm sure that there's no problems with it, I'll start putting in units when people ask. If it's something they really need, I'll do it, but if it's not, I won't.
But that's something that you have to do.
No, they can do it themselves. It's just easier because it takes quite some time to download it now.
Okay.
About an hour or two. They've gotten to be really big files. But with the new units, it's not so much a software upgrade, it's an actual platform upgrade. They've got the new LiveView sonar, which came out after we talked last time.
Explain that to me.
You can see in real time in front of the boat. Like, if you're trout fishing, you can see the fish swimming around real time in a static monitor instead of the page scrolling.
Right.
You can see a static screen with the fish moving around. I saw a video guy who threw a cast net.
Okay,
and you can see the cast net coming over the bait.
Instead of the screen scanning,
mm-hmm.
the images move on a static screen.
Yes.
Okay. Well, hold on a second. Mind-blowing moment.
I know.
I mean, that's... You know, anybody who's used marine electronics for a long time just had that same... Because, yeah, that was always the idea that whether it was from the old days of where it was actually a paper chart to, you know, going forward 30 years through the technology, the idea is always that we're refreshing, we're adding new as the screen scrolls.
Right-hand side of the screen is time zero. Everything on the left is history.
But now it's a video camera. Even though it's not video, it's a video camera.
Basically, yeah.
So, it's the Ring doorbell of the sonar system. Just taking me a second to process that. That's really cool.
Yeah, and it's applications mainly inshore, shallow water fishing. The bass fishermen seem to love it.
The fish swim into the frame.
Pretty much, yeah.
So I like this.
I mean, you're just seeing little dots.
Right, but you watch. Yeah. Well, I'm not saying the fish, but I'm saying you're right. It's static. It's basically like, for lack of a better term, a camera looking forward here.
Yeah, basically.
And then here comes that image into the frame.
Yes.
I like it.
So a 12-inch screen is probably one of your better sizes, proper probably. What would a unit like that run?
The 8612 XSV is $39.99, so $4,000 plus the transducer, the LiveView. I'm not sure how much that is. It's a really new technology. I don't do a lot in the offshore market. So
yeah.
I mean, I do so much in the offshore market. It's not much of an application that we use, so I don't really know.
You don't know what
I'd say.
Price.
Let's just say $500.
Okay, so $4,500, and then installation.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So you're looking at what? $5,500
about,
or?
Yeah,
for brand new, got everything brand new,
pretty
that's
much
awesome. Yeah.
Okay, but you mentioned something because we talk about the head unit, or lack of a better word, the display and everything going on up there, but this doesn't happen without having good transducers.
No, I mean, the LiveView is a specific transducer that's just doing that. It's just doing this, you know, close in 100 feet or less, I would say.
I'm starting to obsess on that.
And then
we'll have to get back to
that.
And
then you've got your big one, that your main transducer that's down. That's your snapper fishing, running around the bay. This is not going to pick up a run, and it is while you're sitting still on a trolling motor.
But it is cool.
Yeah, it is cool.
It's pretty cool. But what I'm getting to in general, transducers, it's just like anything. You know, everybody thinks you look at your outboard, you don't look at your prop. Even though the prop and propping properly for an outboard is a big part of getting top performance. Same thing, you know, we all think about the unit we look at, and we look at those screens, but that's only as good as the information it can get.
It's only as good as the signal being sent and received and the element doing that. Yeah, you're
exactly right. And I've seen such a difference between the quality of transducers and having, like, somebody like you know how to mount the transducer in the right place.
Yes.
I may not have mounted a transducer myself over time, and maybe not got the best out of it. And somebody like Macklin could look at it and say, well, that's because it's in an air pocket, or you can get bumbles. I mean, there's an art to that.
There is.
But a lot of us would get it and say, we just put the transducer there on the, you know, and then it just looks down. And
it's easy. Anybody can do it.
just because you're getting a return signal.
Yeah. Doesn't
mean
you're
stopped and you're doing it.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean it's the best it can be. You watch somebody who, like you, knows what they're doing, tweak the transducer, and you go on somebody else's boat and they have the same head unit, but you're like, how is yours doing all that?
Yeah.
Well, one, you can read the bottom going 10, 15 miles an hour, and the other one 40 miles an hour, and it's reading the bottom just fine.
Yeah.
You know?
I think people are hearing that, right?
Yeah.
Have y'all experienced that before?
Yes.
That's what we're talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's
depends
all about
how it's mounted.
Prep work, installation, knowing how to tell the right spot in a hole and how to take all that information.
They're not all the right spot. They're not all equal.
No.
I mean, I keep doubling down on this because I think it affects a lot of people. And I know a lot of people listening right now go, I'm out of the transducer. It's okay. You know, it does fine. But then if y'all think about it, have you ever gotten on somebody else's boat that had similar equipment and go, how are you running you know, running right now and we're reading bottom and not losing signal. That's about where the transducer is mounted.
It's all where it's mounted and how.
Okay.
You probably never had one work going 80 miles an hour, though, have you?
No, the barrier layer under the boat's just too much. We've got some boats that we have to put the end hull, the stepped hull boats, so we've got to put the tank transducer in front of the front step, and we can get them up in the 60s, but once you trim the boat out to go over that, it's it's too much interference.
60, that's strong. If you can get one to read decent at 60 miles an hour, that's really
just good. Barely up to it. I mean, I'm in Orange Beach in shallow water.
Yeah. What I like about the new electronics, because I'm so used to the old stuff, you know, used to you had a radar, you had a radar.
Yeah.
You had a depth recorder, it was a depth recorder. You know, now you get one screen, you have a radar, you have a weather antenna, you have cameras hooked to it, you can look in your live wells and see your fish swimming. You got,
let me stop you a second. You have live well cam?
Yes, absolutely. Got a live well cam.
I had no live well cam.
This is
why we keep him around.
I know.
So let's go to the live shot.
Okay.
Hey, everybody, let's go live shot. Camera number two, we're going to look at what's in the big well. Look at those hardtails. They're fantastic.
Okay, here's what happens. I fish with Mark Candy on a 39 yellowfin, and he's got a camera in his live well. You know, there's been times when you're running out there and you've caught all this bait, you got 150 hardtails and bluefish, whatever, in your live well, and you get to where you're going and you look in your live well, there's no water in there. Something's happened, your pump quit working or got a clog up or something. Where this way, you're constantly looking at your bait.
Oh, I'm not saying it's a bad thing. I'm just obsessing with the fact that you've got... All right, listen, we're running the break here. Coming right back. More. We are live at the Mobile Boat Show for the Guides Corner with FM Talk 106.5. Y'all come see us. FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. I know, kind of a different time. Somebody's probably riding down the road right now saying, what are y'all usually on at 7 on Saturday mornings? But it's a special thing we do once a year. We do an on-location broadcast of the show, and 2 hours from 10 to noon, live from the Mobile Boat Show. And we'll be down here throughout the day and tomorrow with the Guides Corner. We have a booth. Tell you what, when you're coming in and you get to where the Alabama Marine Resources area is with their touch tank and their displays, they had a falcon down here yesterday. Birds of prey down here, and I so wanted to get like one of the little squirrel hinds they have over there, and then get a fishing rod with some line and throw it out and try to get the falcon to chase it. But they said no, and then they had somebody with handcuffs came up, so I quit. We're right across from them, as you.
And it's 20 minutes to 11 right now, and we got a good crowd coming in here.
Yeah, absolutely.
Look who's coming in right now. Look right down there.
Lots of stuff to do.
Look down there and see who's coming.
Yep.
Bradley Burns coming in.
There we go. So I see him here every year. And we're going to, and here's one of the things that we got going on today. Guides Corner, today, tomorrow, and also your chance to stop by and get registered for this fishing trip with Captain Bobby Abrascato. This is a full-day fishing trip for you and two friends. Full-day fishing trip. Custom-made rod. Full tackle box, plus a lot of other goodies we're throwing in the mix. Here's how it works. If you'll go to ateamfishing.com, go to fmtalk1065.com, or Facebook page, any of those places, you'll see the link for the Officer Sean Tudor Memorial Fund raffle. When you go there, you click the link. It takes you to mobilepd.org. When you're at mobilepd.org, you make a donation to the Officer Sean Tudor Memorial Fund. Money goes there into the fund, and you get a receipt, email receipt. That email receipt is your raffle ticket. And later on in, I think it's the 22nd of March, we're going to do the drawing. And you're going to win, Amy, a full-day fishing trip with Captain Bobby, everything paid for, and you're leaving with tackle and rods and all that kind of good stuff.
Is there a certain amount that you...
There's not. So that's the thing.
Let me tell you something. $5, $10,
$100? Let me tell you something about, because he's not here right now. And he'd be hitting me on my head if I said it in front of him. You and I have both known Bobby a long time. Bobby's one of my personal friends. Bobby's got a heart the size of Texas. And I said, you need to set an amount when he starts talking. So you set an amount. You need a minimum amount to get in? He said, nah. He said, if somebody could only donate $10... If somebody could donate $1,000, he said, I want money to go to this memorial fund for Officer Sean Tudor. He said, so I'm not going to get in the. So that's on Bobby.
Yeah.
Bobby said, and I said, you know what? You're probably right, because most people want to give to this fund and give generously to this fund. So you go on. Yeah, there's not a set amount. You give money to the memorial fund and you get an entry into the raffle. Awesome. We'll do that drawing. So that's
very nice.
Y'all check. Yeah, he is. It is a cause we should be donating to anyway. And on top of that, if you win a fishing trip for you and your friends to go with Captain Bobby, and it's not even, it's a catching trip when you go with Captain Bobby. So you want a catching trip with Captain Bobby. It's a great thing. Y'all take part in it. We have details. I can tell you more about it when you stop by our booth here at the Mobile Boat Show. Our guest for this segment, although we got tons of people in here, but it's always fun. We're going to have him back some Saturday morning. And that is Macklin Smith from HMS Marine Electronics. Because every time you come by, I end up with like a whole field of questions that I had. And then you say something. And then I get a whole another bunch of questions. And okay. You were talking about it a second ago. Mike brought up this conversation piece about the live well camera.
Yep.
That you had experienced. Then we're going to the break here, and Macklin says, oh, yeah, you know, and you got the other cameras where you can watch outside the boat.
Yeah.
Let's talk about how many things you can hook up to a screen. And a lot of boats now have two screens, so you can split screen them and put all kinds of stuff. But name all the things, because used to you had a depth recorder, it was one screen, you had a radar, was another screen. How many things can you hook up to a screen?
Pretty much anything on the boat that you could imagine will integrate into these systems now. FLIR, night vision camera, underwater cameras, live well cameras, which I hadn't done yet, but that's on the list now.
Watching people on the board, board fishing.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Pretty soon you're never going to leave the helm because you got a whole entertainment system going on there. But, I mean, you said the outboard camera, the ones outside. You said something, if you were chunking or you're tuna fishing or something, you could monitor what's going on under your boat, not just through the returns coming in from your electronics. You watch a real video.
Yeah, I mean, this customer has asked for a pair of underwater, they're high-definition cameras, one on each side, and we've got them on the screen. So he does a lot of slow trolling with live baits, hardtails, big hardtails, blackfin tuna for marlin, tuna, etc. And he said, I want, when I'm going 2-3 miles an hour, I want to be able to see my baits.
He's watching back there. He's watching from the helmet. Yeah. He's watching his baits.
I mean, because then you could see if a marlin is shadowing a bait
and
or
people
whatever.
People have done that with GoPros and other cameras over time, but this is part of...
These are hardwired into the network. You can switch around.
Hey, y'all go to camera two. Let's check. Oh, look at there. Look at that marlin on camera two. We got a wahoo on camera three.
Yeah.
This is wild.
And then the FLIR looking forward, you can see what's in front of you at night.
And that's or, night vision.
Yeah.
That's,
well, it's infrared, so it's day or night.
Yeah.
The day doesn't have the resolution, but you can not advise, but you can keep your eyes on that screen and see pretty much everything around the boat.
Yeah.
So so you run this at night. I mean, you should be running radar. You should be running, but you can run the stack.
Well, you do. It's just an additional safety feature for running at night. You can see, depends on, obviously, slow down, but you can see logs, grass in the water.
Wow.
You can see fish jumping out of the water. I've seen tuna busting at night. I've seen them air out in front of the boat.
Holy cow. Okay.
And all you can see is a splash with your naked eye, but on the camera, you can actually see the fish come out of the boat, out of the water.
This is unreal. All right, so let's talk about it. So that's the new cutting edge of technology out there. For most people like me, we're probably a few years behind that, but let's talk about something Mike said, integrating things into our electronics. And he mentioned radar. And radar used to be this idea, offshore fishermen, I mean, blue water, marlin fishermen, bait draggers are using that. But for inshore or close nearshore applications, it's invaluable.
Yeah, it is. I mean, you can see all the boats. I mean, if you ride around at night or in Orange Beach, Dolphin Island's getting pretty busy, and you need it if you're going to operate after dark because of the amount of people on the water and the traffic. I mean, the boat clubs are getting real popular, and the private boat ownership is up in all various sizes.
And also fog. that
if it's fog.
Fog, yes. Yes, you know. Absolutely.
Yeah, fog is a big deal. And then I just think about the, you know, playing the game during the summertime. We do nearshore snapper fishing and trout fishing. It's dodging the thunderstorm.
Yeah.
It's figuring out, do I go around the west end of Dolphin Island? Do I go around the east end? What's the best way for me to get back to the ramp without getting in a lightning storm?
Yeah.
But here's the other thing. You have XM weather that you hook up to.
And that's probably more valuable for that.
And that's what I put on my boat. I put XM weather on there so that if I am offshore and my phone don't work and I don't have a signal.
And usually it doesn't once you get out beyond about 5 miles.
So if I'm out 20, 30 miles and I've got a single engine and I'm looking back and I can see all the weather, if I see something, a really bad storm coming from the north, I know that I can go to the right, go to the left, or whatever.
Well,
get
what if
out
you want
it.
To do that? What if you want to push into that kind of XM weather? Can you skip radar entirely? And what kind of unit do you have to get that integrated?
Pretty much any one of the Garmin platforms, the 722 series and up, will take sat weather. The 94SV series, which we talked about for your boat, it doesn't work with the weather. It doesn't have the processing capability.
Okay.
But on my boat, for instance, I don't go out before daylight or after dark, really. So right. I really don't have a great need for radar, but I have sat weather.
Right.
And so,
what's the receive unit for that sat weather? Is it?
It's just an antenna, just like the GPS. It's about the size of a Coke can.
Okay, so
The diameter.
So it's going to be something that you put in, you wire, and you plug into the back. There's a plug or a Cat 5 plug in the back of the.
Yeah. You plug all this stuff in. I mean, you can plug everything.
So you can go. What I'm saying is, I'm just trying to ask for people who are thinking about this. Okay, they say, you know, I really don't need the radar. Then I just need sat weather because I'm. A guy that has to dodge thunderstorms, trout fishing or snapper fishing or something like that, they can get at what's the minimum you said for Garmin?
The 742 series of Garmin.
And they can run sat weather on that?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, so they do that, and then they need to buy an antenna?
Yes.
And then it's this monthly subscription, or how's it work?
Yeah, it's $19 a month.
Yeah.
And that's all the package you need. And then you can add radio on there if you want to.
No, you don't. You don't want to do that.
No.
The radio's no good.
I agree.
We carry way out.
Yeah, I know.
No, but the satellite, I mean, the weather radar feature of that is good. And is that by region, or does that work if you take, say, I'm from here and I'm down in Venice, or I go down to Texas, or I go down the Keys?
Wherever it works. You're activating a subscription, it will work to an extent in the Bahamas until you get to the Outer Islands. But then whenever you zoom that page out and have the weather active, you can see the entire United States. You can see every weather system that's out there. Hurricane, it'll show up, all that.
All right. Tell folks how to get in touch with you.
HMS Marine Electric at gmail.com or 251-591-3283.
He's on Facebook. You can check him out there as well. And we'll have you back very soon. Talk more about
Thanks, Sean. Enjoyed it. Thank you, Mike.
Yes, sir.
Hey, Macklin, thank you very much. Coming right back, more from the Mobile Boat Show. We are live here at the Guides Corner for FM Talk 106.5. FM Talk 106.5, and it is FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors, live from the Mobile Boat Show, special two-hour show. Mike and I, we do it each year. It's a lot of fun.
It is a lot of fun.
Guides
you
quarter.
Never know who's going to show up around this
That's
place.
That's right.
Man.
And, you know, we were just talking about some offshore fishing, just talking about some snapper, the new technology with Macklin, and then I look up, and AL1's Congressman Bradley Burns walking by. I said, Congressman Burns, let's talk some snapper. Hey, how are you?
I'm great.
Good to see you.
I've been forbidden by my wife to spend a penny here today, so I'm literally just walking around looking. But it's great stuff to look at.
We're going
to
give you a worthless FM Talk 106.5 shirt.
Huh? I don't consider that to be worthless.
We'll have to report it. We're openly reporting the T-shirt.
We're doing it on air.
That's right. That's good. I think this is as open as it can be. I want to talk about this. So 2019, and we're going to have Director Bannon on as well next hour to talk more about snapper regs. But I saw the memo from your office about this. So kind of give us your rundown on what 2019 looks like.
Well, 2019 looks a lot like 2018, which is three-day weekends, June and July. Now, it's like last year, we take some time away last year, so this year we may get some time back. We don't know. So let's see how people fish, but I feel pretty good about it.
Okay, so because last year that was a deal that we ended earlier, it seemed like, than normal, but that was because we met a tonnage limit, right?
Right. And we got an increase in how much we could take out this year. I think it's about 15%. So that's good.
Because it used to be that if you goofed up in 1 year, and I don't believe that we goofed up, but under National Marine Fisheries, if we overfished, then we got penalized the next year.
Yeah, we didn't.
But we're not getting penalized this year, actually.
We're being rewarded because we were responsible about the way we handled it. You remember right after the season closed, we actually had the head of National Marine Fisheries Service here, went out with Dauphin Island Sea Lab, et cetera. So they got to see our science. They got to go fishing with us. They know we're responsible about this. So building that trust and confidence is critical. Now, we're going to have a new regulation adopted, I hope, by the council coming up in a little while here.
Yeah, the Biloxi meeting or something?
I think that's right. Yeah. And that would make it permanent.
So exempted fishing permits have been in a temporary status, and this would codify that?
Yes.
You know, for part of this is really good. It's an improvement being able to have at a local level make decisions here. But still at the top of this pyramid, right? So at the federal level, they still decide, and I've used this description before, maybe it's because I didn't have breakfast, but there's a pie that's the total tonnage in the Gulf. And even though we can fish that, our slice of pie as we see it, they still tell us how big the pie is, right?
I mean, they do, and I still want us to pass the legislation that gives us full control over our fishing. I don't want it just for snapper. I want it for amberjack and triggerfish, et cetera.
Good to hear you say that.
And I think we can get that done. But I tell you, we get that done by doing what we're doing right now, which is proving ourselves to be responsible in the way that we manage what we've got.
Now, what is it like when you bring people, like you're talking about NOAA folks down here at Head of Marine Fisheries down here, and you take them out fishing. Do you want to go, see? I mean, you have to temper yourself on see?
I bite my tongue. But, the good thing is that the scientists that are out on these boats do the selling for me because they're so good at what they do. And then after, we go out there and do the science on each reef, we fish on each reef. So they get to catch fish.
Right.
And you know how it is. You put your lure in the water and boom, you got a fish and a big one.
And even though there's part of this that's they're going to look at data, they're going to look at Excel documents and all this data forever, but there's something real about that part of it. Them working on a snapper, bringing it up and catching it, seeing how fast, okay, they drop down another piece of squid or they drop down scarbino or live bait and they catch another one. There's some part of the brain that's got to inform that.
Well, we've had some people within National Marine Fisheries Service, some career people, who've portrayed our science and our data collection down here as being not sufficient, not adequately scientific.
Okay.
If you take the people out on the boat with our marine scientists at South Alabama and Dolphin Island Sea Lab, it's irrefutable. I mean, they are absolutely top-of-the-notch scientists.
You
they
are
know
changing
what
minds?
Absolutely. No. Chris Oliver, who's the head of National Marine Fisheries Service, at the end of that day, we were on the boat coming back in, and he looked at me and said, "This is awesome." He says, "Y'all really got it going here." And, it's show and tell.
That's awesome.
That's show and tell.
Because this is something we've had to deal with over time that we all knew that this was the truth. But, Mike and I have talked about this for 10, 15 years. We all know it's the truth, but unless it fits in to the right people seeing it and the right document, we can want it all we want. But unless they see it and they go, okay, here's scientific info that says it, they ignored us for a long time.
Well, not only that, the way they were gathering data a long time ago, they were just going out in a wide open and sticking baits down, not catching fish. And now, they're on the reef. They're not out there in just sandy bottom. The snapper aren't.
Well, they weren't sampling on reefs at all.
That's right. I mean, it's just
which
crazy.
Is
that's,
obviously
what, that's what drove us crazy. I mean, it's like, what in the world?
But not by luck of the draw, but by the rules of how they were looking, they wouldn't look at what they called man-made structure. They specifically exempted the places we held snapper.
They told me in a hearing that they didn't know how to do it, and I said, well, we're already doing it. And so getting
we'll
them to come and see it, when they saw us do it, I mean, it's very impressive. If you've been out there, it's very impressive what we do.
Sure it is.
Once they saw it, they said, hey, this is the real thing. And I said, yeah. So I think we've got, as permanent a fix as you can under the regs right now. But, Sean, you're exactly right. We've got to fix the statute. So I'm not giving up. Okay. We're just going to keep moving. But to get this regulatory fix is a big deal. It's a very big deal.
And that's that's one thing that I think it's good. You've talked so much about it to get people understand. We can want it all we want. And you can go and you put together groups of like-minded members of Congress to do things. But explaining the situation about red snapper fishing off the coast of South Alabama, there's not tons and tons of members of Congress have any idea what you're talking about.
Not many. I can tell you that Steve Scalise, who's in our leadership, does, because he's from New Orleans, and he's been fishing with me, so he knows. But some of the other come up to me, and they'll snap their fingers and say, it's that fish. What's the name of that fish?
Right. Yeah.
And that's reality. No, it's good to hear
that's
that.
That's what
we're up
against.
Because we need to think about that. We all know this is an issue down here, but somebody who's, representative from Kansas or something, they don't know our issue. That's your job to tell them.
That's my job. And if you go up to anybody on the leadership staff in the House of Representatives, they'll say, we understand where Congressman Byrne is. It's those ships, it's those fish, and it's that bridge. And I said, you got it. Once you've burned it into their heads like that, they understand. They don't even know the name of the fish, and it doesn't matter. They know
it's the fish.
That's my fish bill.
Oh, it's the fish guy. Here comes the congressman. What about the bridge? We had a story 10 days ago or so that we've now delayed.
Yeah,
into
the story was unfortunately inaccurate.
Okay,
We're in good shape. Have all the regulatory approvals done by the middle of this year, July 1. And the state will go ahead and pick the concessionary group that they're going to use before the end of the year, which means they'll be ready to go first quarter.
So it is a 2019 thing?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yeah.
Very good.
We had a hiccup.
Because I saw that, and I was like, here we go again.
The beginning of the story was accurate in that we had a hiccup, but we had already fixed it way before the story came out. They got bad dated information from the people in Federal Highway Administration, but we're on track. We're good.
Okay.
We're real good.
That's great news.
Here's the other thing I want you to solve for me. Get more parking spots for us or something. Here's the problem with having snapper season Friday,
yeah,
and Sunday. You have to park literally at Dolphin Island.
Yeah.
You have to park a mile,
yeah,
down the road and walk back to the landing. And when you get back and you're tired, you got to walk a mile to get to your car and then come back. That's the problem with having it Friday, Saturday, Sunday. I mean, there's no other way to do it. I don't see any other way to do it. But boy,
well, Florida's just doing it for 30 days straight. I think it's from the middle of June to the middle of July, and that's one way to do it. But we think that the weekends are better. No, I can tell you, Orange Beach, Gulf Shores, Dolphin Island, everybody gets it. They've got to do something. Department of Conservation, State Department of Conservation, has got to do something. They're working on it. So I hear you. I hear it from a lot of people too. By the way,
I'm sure you do, Bradley.
I hear from a lot of folks.
That's a big concern.
Yeah.
Some people can't walk good, or have issues. It is a serious thing.
Yeah.
Mike,
we're
gonna come pick you up in the golf cart and take you down there.
Me and Sean have talked about this in the past, and it'll never come to fruition, I think. But if it opened up year round, where you could snapper fish year round, I really personally don't believe that there'd be very many more snapper caught than there is right now, because you're creating this thing that I have got to go Friday and I got to go Saturday.
We got to take this discussion off air. Congressman Byrne, thank you for your time.
Sean, always good to be with you, Mike. Good to be with you guys.
You.
Have a great boat show.
Will do. Coming right back. FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors.